Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Hey, warm welcome to the show. So glad you're with me today. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here. I've got a fantastic hour planned for you, just for you. I've been working on this for a while, and now it's all going to happen. So I'm excited that you're going to get a chance to enjoy John Bloom. And you know John because you might have remembered the McArnold Group, the unscripted, unrehearsed group from the morning show with Dr. Peter Kapsner, which is now kind of semi-defunct, but we sure had fun while it lasted. And now he is here with us, and he brought a very, very special guest with him. He's one point brought his son, but now he brought his wife, Pam. And we're going to have a great hour with him and his wife, and we're awfully, awfully glad they could make it in together. We're going to talk a little bit to get the discussion started about just following the prompts of the Holy Spirit, because there's a harvest out there that's enormous, and we have to all be just aware of and be sensitive to what and how the Holy Spirit might be prompting us to take advantage of every opportunity we can. And it can be very simple. It can be, it doesn't have to be grand. It can be a very simple gesture. Maybe it's just the way you're connecting people with eye contact and a kind word and something that would invite them to know that God loves them. Or maybe you're going to do something bold. But we're just going to talk with the Blooms about following the prompts of the Holy Spirit. And then we're also going to talk about an anniversary they just shared. And we're going to open up the phone lines. And then we're also going to talk about a couple of articles John has written for Desiring God, where he works. He's the author and board chair and co-founder of DesiringGod.org, and he's written several articles we might get to or we might not. It all depends on where the Spirit's going to lead us today. We're going to follow the promptings of the Spirit in the hour, and if you have a question or a comment, you can call or text 877-933-2484. We'll be back with the Blooms in just a minute.
The Bible tells us to set our minds on things above. We can do this by taking in God's Word every day. But life is often busy, and our Bible reading time gets cut short. We can help with the Faith Radio Verse of the Day. A Bible verse will be delivered to your email inbox every day when you sign up at myfaithradio.com. Just click on Verse of the Day, and we'll add you to the list. Be blessed with the Faith Radio Verse of the Day.
Each day, together, growing in our faith.
I do listen regularly, and I just appreciate that it does bring me a lot of positive hope daily, and has for many years. Sometimes you think that God's talking right to you.
It's encouragement and hope for your daily journey, connecting your faith to your everyday life on Faith Radio.
It's 7 minutes after the hour, and if you're like me, and I know I am, I like a good deal. I like a twofer. Two for the price of one, and that's what I've got in studio today. I've got John Bloom and his wife, Pam, who have joined me for the full hour. We're going to have a great conversation. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Great to be here.
And Pam?
Thank you.
All right, there we go. Everyone's fully introduced. One of the things I want to talk about today, among many, is following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. How important it is to be reminding ourselves that maybe God is nudging us to have that conversation, open the door to friendship, and how do we do that, and how can we be encouraged? Now, before the show, I was talking to Pam about an experience she had, and I think that's kind of how I would love to start the show. Pam, would you mind telling our listeners about a prompting you had from the Holy Spirit?
I'd love to.
Great.
So it was last fall, and John and I had a morning date planned, and I had had my devotions before we left, and I didn't have a lot of time, but I just took maybe 15 minutes and was reading in 2 Peter 3, and I read maybe half the chapter, and I got to the verse that I'd read many times, but a part of it stood out to me, where it says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And I stopped there, and that's the part that just stood out to me. And I thought about it briefly, and it's time to go. And I just thought, Lord, what do you want to show me? But I didn't have a lot of time to journal or pray, just like went to the restaurant. And we went to a place that we frequently go. And a waitress came, and I thought, I think I'm supposed to share this with her. I thought, I'm just going to take a risk. I don't know her. But I saw a connection in the word slowness. And I felt this empathy for this waitress that I've never been a waitress. I don't know what it's like to be really busy and have people waiting on me. But I've seen them when they're very slow, and I can imagine they're probably impatient customers who are like, why are they so slow? And it's not her fault, and she needs to keep a smile and serve. And I just shared that with her. I said, I imagine that's how you feel, but I think God wants you to know what he's like. And I said, I don't know if you read the Bible or know much about it, but I just read this in this book in 2 Peter, and I thought I'd share it with you. And I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I didn't say much about it, except I think God wants you to know what he's like, that he's slow and he is a compassionate God. He wishes that none should perish. And I was expecting she may blow me off or give me a nicety like, yeah, thanks, but here's your food. But she was really responsive, and she said, thank you. And she sincerely meant it, like, thank you. I'm going to keep this. And she had a little black book where she would take our order, and she said, I'm going to keep this in here. In fact, I'm going to put a copy in the back room and tell my coworkers. I think they need to hear this too. Wow, you are not just taking this for yourself, but you're going to go tell, you don't even know God from what I can tell. And you're going to go tell your coworkers about this. I thought, that was really easy. And now she's already a spreader without even really knowing God yet. And I don't know what he's going to do in the future with this. But we prayed for her, and it actually opened a door that months later, I would talk with her and remind her I gave her that. She said, yeah, I remember you. And months later, I felt prompted on another day to actually bring in a Bible and give it to her. And she was so moved. She said, you don't even know what's been going on this week and how I was thinking even on the way to work. I need to have God in my life. And she said, I don't even know why I'm thinking that, and that I should get a Bible. And here you are giving me this. And she was in tears and gave me this strong hug. And like, so I don't know what else God will do with her. I've lost touch with her. But that was just it was a simple example of following a little prompt and being bold to step out.
I love that. John, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are that my admiration for my wife is very high. She acted in boldness. It wasn't, you know, some boldness doesn't need to look heroic. It needs to just be willing to do what the Lord wants in a moment. And so she followed. We were at the restaurant, and she just kind of suddenly shared, I think the Lord wants me to share this with the righteous. Do you think I should? And I'm like, go for it, babe.
Yeah.
What the waitress said, she said, well, here's, I don't know if you read the Bible. And the waitress was just very honest. She goes, no, I don't. I don't really read the Bible. So that's how we knew that she wasn't a believer. And Pam just shared something simple. She didn't need to present the gospel. She wasn't trying to engage in some sort of debate, or she felt led to share some very simple words. And she just stepped out and did it. And then that opened a door later for this more remarkable, the giving of the Bible, because what the waitress said to Pam is, when you don't know what happened, this has been one of the hardest weeks of my life. Hmm. She just lost a dear relative to death, and her own life was in crisis. And she had just been scrounging around for a little Bible she remembered that somebody had given her at some point, and so this was another way of God expressing love. These were these little love points. God just stepping in a moment and expressing his own heart for her. And it might be just, you know, one or a couple little steps in 100 different steps in her life where God is intersecting that we have no idea of. But Pam was faithful in those little moments. And God will honor that and he will bless it. That's what I think. I want to be like Pam when I grow up.
I love the story. And I love that, Pam, you just responded pretty quickly. You didn't think about it. You didn't say, tonight when we get home, we'll pray about it. You acted in the moment, and I think that's critical.
Yep.
And you never know when that moment is going to come up, and just to take advantage of it and to act on it is really an encouragement to me.
Well, that's another thing that I model from her is because she does act quickly when she receives those, and mm-hmm. I tend to be more deliberative. Lord, is this you? You know, is this, and am I going to say this right? You know, I'm in my head.
Yeah.
And she just went, I think I'm supposed to do it. So I'm going to, hi. Here's a verse from 2 Peter. And I'm watching going, I wonder how this is going to go. And then I went, wow, man, I should do that more.
It's almost like don't let 5 seconds elapse.
Yeah.
Do it within 5 seconds.
Do it.
If God is prompting you, just open your mouth and speak. And it doesn't have to be profound. It has to be loving and sincere. And Pam, you got that written all over your face, loving and sincere.
And don't go, now is this God? If there's just like, what if it's not? Is it going to hurt to share a scripture? What if they blow you off? Well, you know, like what? That's not going to hurt you. You know, even if they get mad at you, even if they say mean things to you, you're just stepping out. He honors faith, and he honors the smallest things often. And so, don't wait 5 seconds, and don't overthink it. If the Lord seems to move, just move. Just in those moments, just do it.
Yeah, I love it. All right, we'll take a little break. If you have a question or comment for the Blooms, 877-933-2484 is a text number as well. You can actually text us a question at that number, 877-933-2484. We'll take a very short break and be back with John and Pam Bloom in just a minute.
All I do is praise your name from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You are my God, and all I want to do is praise your name. I praise your name and lift our voices and proclaim.
Welcome back. It's 18 minutes after the hour. John and Pam Bloom are my guests. John, you may know him from DesiringGod.org. He's the co-founder of that, and we're going to probably chat a little bit later in the hour about some of the things he's writing this week. But I also just want to continue our discussion we're having on following the prompts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have a story when God really prompted you to take action, to reach out to someone, and you did it. We want to hear about that story. You can call us or text us at 877-933-2484. These stories are really inspirational to people. We all need to be encouraged in that. We hear these stories and we think, I can do that. And it's exciting. Now, Pam, you had another story, which you got me all excited about hearing. So please tell this one.
Well, this was a few years ago, and I woke up in the morning and my first thought I could tell was from God, and it's like as if he said in my mind, if I give you someone to talk to today, will you do it?
Ooh, those are high stakes.
Yeah, but it was like a dare from God uh-huh. that didn't feel scary but exciting, like this pause, like, yeah, I'll do that, but I don't know what that will look like. And actually, I remember now I had a doctor appointment, and so I'm, like, my expectation is unusually high. This is not typical of me, despite my stories. So I went to my doctor appointment. I thought, is this the person I'm supposed to talk to, the nurse? And I talked to her briefly, and I had a book with me, and I just shared with her. She said, I love to read. And I said, well, maybe you want to read this book, and gave it to her. And she was very responsive and kind, but I don't think this is the one. And then I did an errand at a mall that I don't typically shop at. And it was lunchtime. I'm hungry. I've got a gift card. I'm going to stop at this Asian restaurant. It has a takeout window. It's lunchtime. There is no one at the takeout window. And actually, I get up there to place my order, and the person I'm placing the order from is really agitated. And I could tell, you know, without giving away his story, just all over him was a lot of trouble. The way he was physically acting, like he's very anxious. And I had a chance to talk to him and ask him a few questions. He poured out his story, and he was so, so needy, and like a girlfriend that he'd been with for 8 years, they'd just broken up. He went on and on about the things in his life that were falling apart. And this is the guy that I'm supposed to talk to. And at noon, no one else is coming to order. I had like 10 minutes, 15 minutes to talk with him at noon hour.
So God cleared his schedule.
Really? Yeah. Yes.
For you to talk to him.
And I prayed with him, and it was really short and simple, but this is who God is.
And he was really
me.
Helped.
He was.
Mm-hmm. Again, you know, yeah. I find some of the circumstances surrounding this interaction a little unusual. Lunchtime at a busy mall, you would think that there'd be more customers that would be behind you wanting his attention, and God kind of clears the zone, gives you 10 minutes with them. Isn't that sweet?
It's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful?
It's fantastic.
And that invitation, you know, that just makes me think, like, that invitation is a standing invitation. You know, so the Lord sort of met her in the morning, on, you know, like if I give you somebody. But that just, like, makes me want to say, Lord, would you give me somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
To start the day every day, God, give me somebody to serve. During the break, Rebecca was just mentioning, you know, how those moments when you feel a prompt can get so nerve-wracking because our attention turns immediately to ourselves. We're just like, oh, because we're so afraid of what we're going to look like, rather than who is this person? What is their need? What is their need?
Yeah.
And that... I mean, that I think is the right, that's the right disposition is them. What do they need? Mm-hmm. Not me. And how do I feel?
And the way you put it, John, in response to Pam's story was so, it just kind of opened up an image in my mind that we're supposed to be delivering God's love to that person,
yes.
Which has nothing to do with us other than being, like you said, open and willing to just make that simple action and say, yes. You know what? God loves you. And this is what he wants you to know about himself.
Yes. Yes.
How is that scary? That's not scary.
Yeah.
I'd want to hear that all day long.
Right. Right. Yeah. Delivering the love of God to others. It's, you know, yeah. I mean, people may not want the love of God, and it's not like there aren't times when it gets awkward. But if our frame of mind is, I'm here as a mail carrier of God's kindness, His grace, that puts a different spin on it for us rather than I've got to be an apologist or I have to be an evangelist and the things that, you know, and what do I say? And what if I say the wrong thing? Rather than looking, training our eyes to look for what's an opportunity to share mercy, grace, kindness, gentleness, understanding, empathy, wisdom to somebody.
I love it. I have a caller on the line. Jody is in Stillwater. She's got a great story. Welcome to the show, Jody.
Well, hello.
Hi.
I have a story that, first off, I just want your listeners to know that I would consider myself not a real disciplined Christian, but a very faith-filled Christian. Don't spend as much time in the Bible or even remember verses that I should.
Mm-hmm.
But, I do follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and I know it's incredible what happens when I do. But the story is my neighbor was very ill, and his wife there. I knew there were people coming and going at their house, and that he was, you know, kind of in his last you know, whatever, days or whatever. And so I thought, okay, it's Easter, day before Easter. I got 40 people coming to my house. I should drop something off. Didn't even have time to make anything, but I dropped off some brownies that I bought. Run over to the house, hand them to her. So you got people coming and going. Here's your brownies. You have a snack to give them or whatever. And she said, please come in and have coffee. And I'm literally like, no, don't have time for this. So I said, oh, no, thank you. I've got 40 people coming to my house. Got to go. Started out the door and down the steps, and literally the Holy Spirit said, go back, make the time, have coffee with her. Hmm. Okay. I went back. I'd love to have some coffee. Sat down. Her daughter was there, and she said, you know what? The daughter said, I'm going to go home. Jody's here, whatever. So we sat down, and within a few minutes after her daughter left, there was a caregiver giving my neighbor a bath, and I heard her say, come in here, please, come in here. I think this is it. So my neighbor ran into the room, totally unexpected. I heard on the baby monitor that they had, you know, in his room, this is it. This has never happened to me before. This is it. I think he's going. And so I literally, instead of running out the door, which I felt like doing because it was terrifying, I ran into the room. The Holy Spirit completely took over. I grabbed his hand. I grabbed his head, prayed, and told him as many sweet things that the Lord is waiting for him. It's okay. You don't have to be afraid. And he died in my arms on a day that was not expected. Hmm. So the caregiver said, this has never happened. I led them in the Lord's Prayer. We held hands and we held him and said the Lord's Prayer. And then ironically, I said, I'll stay with you until she said, I can't call my daughter. She wouldn't be home yet. She'd be in the car. And so she tried to call her son. He didn't answer her phone. And within 2 minutes, her son walked in the door.
Wow, Jody, that is it's a really powerful story. And boy, you did follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I just so appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah, and it was amazing. And it's just a highlight of my life, I think.
Yeah, I can understand why. God bless you. And God bless.
Can I ask one question?
Well, we're up against a hard break, so we're going to go away in about 20 seconds. So if you can.
Okay, my question is, and I don't know if you can answer it. What is the difference between following the Holy Spirit and then my son is getting a lot of pressure from his girlfriend's mother on angels?
All right, we'll try to cover that when we come back.
Very confusing.
Yep. Okay. John and Pam Bloom are my guests. We'll take a short break and be back with lots more in just a minute.
Hey, if it works in Canada. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. We talked a lot about Canada's radical shift leftward on religious freedom, abortion, and the LGBT agenda. For instance, a Christian couple in Alberta was denied access to adoption services because they believe in Christian sexual morality. And then there's the Canadian High Court denying accreditation to a Christian university's law school because it had a morality clause that supposedly denied LGBT rights. But all's not lost up north. Ontario tried to introduce a new sex ed curriculum that included lessons on gender identity, gay marriage, and, well, self-abuse. But parents said no. In particular, conservative Christians and immigrant communities complained the curriculum usurped their rights as parents to teach their children traditional values about sex and monogamy. So Ontario's newly elected premier pulled the plug on the curriculum. Well, good for them, eh? What a great example for us. Speak out, push back, remember the we and we the people refers to us. I'm John Stone Street.
Welcome back to the program. You just joined us. John and Pam Bloom are my in-studio guests. I love when people come into the studio. I get eye contact, and I get to see big smiles, and I see Bibles open, and it makes me very happy. And we're talking about promptings of the Holy Spirit and how We need to be aware when God is tapping us on the shoulder to take action and have a conversation with people who God puts right in front of us. Let's not miss what's right in front of us. And there was a caller, Jody from Stillwater, just at the tail end of the interview before we went to break, asking about the prompting of the Holy Spirit and what's the difference between that and angels? Can angels prompt as well, or is it just the Holy Spirit? I hope I'm asking this question correctly. John?
Yeah. We don't know the whole story behind Jody's question, but here's what we do know. We do know that the Holy Spirit is the helper that is given to the Christian. All right. So what Jesus promises, when he's going away, he promises to send the Holy Spirit to be our helper, and that the Holy Spirit will teach us and all the things that will bring to remembrance all things Jesus has said, and will be our teacher. And so we don't appeal to angels to be our spirit guides. That's more of a New Agey thing that's out there. So I don't know if that's behind it, the question at all. They are not our spirit guides or our teachers in any way. We do know that angels exist. We know enough about angels. There's enough Christians who have experiences, and of course, there's more stories coming out of the Muslim world about the appearances of angels at times. And usually, when it's an angel, they are directing somebody to go hear the word being preached by another person who's infilled by the Spirit. It's that kind of thing. So we let angels do the work, and we know the kinds of work that they do by what the Bible teaches, but we don't appeal to them. We don't pray to them. We try to listen to the Spirit, and it's likely not angels whispering in our ears. It's likely the Holy Spirit who is moving in us when we are following prompts like that.
Mm-hmm. John and Pam, it's going to be a little personal, but you just celebrated how many years married?
30 years.
30. So I would love for you, if you wouldn't mind, to be as transparent as you can, talking about 3 decades of marriage.
Mm.
You don't have to do it all at once, but I know that so many of our listeners, people that tune into Faith Radio, they're looking for inspiration. They're looking for guidance. They're looking for how can I make my marriage better? Or maybe they're in a tough marriage and they want out. Mm. And that feels terrible because they go, I shouldn't want to get out, right?
Mm.
So maybe you can take us on a little 3-decade journey of your marriage.
Wow. Where do you begin? Right? So we got married in May of 1988. I was 22 years old and Pam was 20. And we spent our early... So here's a flyover first.
Okay.
And then you can ask questions.
Yeah.
So we spent our early years getting through school. We were still getting through school at that point. And then we, after graduation, we started having children. We have 5 children now. But there were some miscarriages in there. So there was some grief. You know, the first 2 pregnancies ended in miscarriage. And we were wondering if we were going to be able to have children. And then we did. We had 5. And so Levi, 22, Eliana, 19, almost 20, Peter, 15. And we have 13-year-old twins, Mariah and Micah. And that bridged most of our late 20s and 30s, right, having kids. Plus, during that time is when I began to work with Desiring God. Right toward the end of my 20s is when we founded that. And so that has grown, and now we are well into middle age, and we have become grandparents. So now we have an 8-week-old granddaughter, Elsa, and we're in a different phase of life. So our kids are getting older. We got a couple adult kids and a couple kids in their teens, and so that's a wonderful, exciting, nerve-wracking time of a parent's life. So there's kind of a summary.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you like to go from there? What would you like to know?
Well, you've navigated through 5 kids, and there's always that interest that I think people have about conflict management. Yeah. And how do you keep Christ at the center of your life? Do you guys get on your knees and pray together? Mm. Do you guys pray separately? Do you have quiet times together? I mean, what are some of the habits in your home that you go, that's the bedrock of what we believe to be our good marriage?
Well, I think there's some history even before we were married. We got married young. We were dating in high school, but we were earnest believers, and we were pursuing God. And I remember John even saying, like, and both of us in our unique ways saying, we are not going to pursue a relationship unless we know that God wants it. And we're willing to not date, not get married for a while, and to seek him first. And even when we were dating for a while and we felt like, but God may want us to lay down this relationship, there was this, I don't want to do that, but I'm willing to do that because he comes first. And the things that bedrock, that orientation of God first has shaped our decades. And then some trials at the beginning that were like a spiritual dark night of the soul that John experienced, two mm-hmm. seasons of mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. we learned together how to fight the enemies that John refers to in the article. Don't underestimate the enemies of your soul. We learned to fight spiritual warfare together and how to encourage one another in the word in a very practical way, where we would wake up in the morning and maybe be burdened with fears or anxiety and just being really honest with each other. And then the other being the lifeline of like, well, John would frequently quote scripture to me when I was in grief, or if he's having trouble getting the right perspective, I would remind him, now this is what's true of you, mm-hmm. when lies are seeming stronger than truth. So we've learned to be good partners in collaborating to build one another's faith in crisis.
Well, yes. I think I got this all figured out. I mean, we can trace this back to high school where you guys are acting very mature, you know, where you're saying, is this God's will? I mean, what high school kids talking that way?
Pam is unusual.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Let me just say, brag on her a little bit. I'll share something that's encouraging, not brag on her. We started dating when we were 18 and 16. And so, when we had our initial conversation about whether we were going to start dating, both of us laid on the table. Pam was alluding to this. If we start doing this, this needs to be God's will. We got to both have that sense. And when there comes a time when one of us becomes convinced that this is not heading towards marriage, we're not going to go any further. So now she was talking like that at 16. So that was she was unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you can get the idea that things have just been easy all the time. They haven't been easy, and God really has put us through the ringer in different ways. We haven't had some of the interpersonal trials that a lot of people have had. We have had spiritual oppression, depression, faith crises, all sorts of other things that would shake us to the core, that we would need to stand together in. And we've also had, not massive parenting crises, but probably crises that lots of people would understand, and difficult situations with five children, very different. You know, some strong-willed and some whatever, and needing a. You had asked, does it drive us to our knees? Yeah,
yes.
Nothing has driven us to our knees. I mean, faith crises have, and then parenting. Nothing has humbled me more than being a parent. Nothing has shown me what I don't know, like being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has caused me to throw myself on God and humble myself before my children, or whatever, make us wrestle together and hash things out and cause us to press into God and into Scripture like raising five human beings.
Now, John, I know you a little bit better than I know Pam, because I'm just meeting her for the first time, and I think of you as a thinker and a writer. I'm sure she's all of that as well, but I know this side of you as thinker and writer. Does that come does that come with ease, or is that a struggle? And do you find that you've got a little bit of a dark cloud that hangs over your head from time to time because of the nature of that as a thinker and a writer?
I think
I didn't ask that question very well.
No, I think I understand what you're saying.
Okay,
so good. So I'll give it a shot here. The dark cloud doesn't hang over me so much as a writer as it does as just a human being.
Okay. All right.
I'm a human being with that has been born again by the grace of God and has indwelling sin that makes life difficult in numerous ways. Plus, I have, you know, Paul, what Paul calls in 2 Corinthians his thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan that humbled him and for which he asked God to release him and three times. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. I have thorns in my flesh that cause me grief and give me those dark clouds. And what those have done is create a desperation for God, which I have found to be extraordinarily merciful.
Mm.
They don't feel merciful. They feel like I'd like to get rid of them. Please, God, take this away. But the fruit of them presses me into God. Now, if you read my articles on desiring God, and there's, I don't know, 600-something articles that have accumulated over the years, you will read basically a journal of my soul. The stuff that you write there, I don't write out of theoretical knowledge, or at mm-hmm. least I try not to write out of theoretical. I'm writing to my soul a lot of the time, or out of the fruit of my soul. And so the struggle that makes me need God's word, need to draw the life from it so that I know how to live. And that produces writing. And writing does not come easy. Writing for me is hard almost mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah. But I think that's why it's so easy to read you, because I think that's exactly what I'm feeling, is I'm getting a piece of you, a piece of your heart. And that's why I read word for word when the articles come out. All right. I want to take a break in just a minute, but I just got an email from a listener, Mary. I wrote, and she said, Bill, my husband does this all the time, speaking of prompting of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, she said, several times a day, he will first compliment a young man, strike up a conversation, and then he'll actually sometimes be able to meet with him for coffee, become a short or long-term mentor. He'll pick them up, take him to a preaching service that he's doing, take him to lunch. And, you know, just, she says, there's an unbelievable pouring out of lonely, needy hearts, and they're all looking for a father figure in their life. And if you're willing, God will provide people every day, won't he?
That is great.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It is. It is. It's very encouraging. John and Pam Bloom are my guests in studio, so we'll take a little break when we come back. If you have a question for them, 877-933-2484 is also a text number. You can just text a question, and we'll ask them. We'll be back in a minute. Minutes till the top of the hour. If you are in your car driving home, I'm awfully glad you've decided to tune into Faith Radio. Thank you for listening. Bill Arnold is here with you. Also in studio is John and Pam Bloom. John, you might know, is co-founder of Desiring God. DesiringGod.org is where you can go find all of his writings. And his wife Pam is in studio with us as well today, which is awfully exciting. My goal is to get the whole Bloom family in here at one point. We had your son Levi in. I'm just going to keep knocking them off one a week, maybe until we get all that accomplished. So if we are talking about following the prompting of the Holy Spirit to take action, action's a big word, there's going to be opposition to that, John. I would guess that the enemy is going to be trying to discourage you, put as many lies and bad thoughts in your head that would keep you from initiating a conversation with someone or reaching out.
Mm. We talk about following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We receive, and of course, this is qualitatively different, because this is not, you know, we have the Spirit indwelling us, unholy or demonic spirits that might be oppressing us, tempting us, whatever. They exist outside of us, but They certainly want to influence what we do and what we don't do, and are active. They're active in trying to prevent things like Pam was sharing. You know, so any chance that they can get us to shut us up and just kind of withdraw in fear, they will do. And that's one of the reasons why sharing your faith can be so nerve-wracking, is there's a lot of noise going on that we don't recognize. We don't recognize what it is. It's just, I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, and we need to begin to recognize where that's coming from and learn not to listen to it.
I love it. You know, I think of that situation, that scenario where there's an emergency, whether it's on an airplane or in a restaurant. Is there a doctor here?
Yeah.
And the doctor doesn't think, well, let's see, I'm not in my white lab coat right now. I don't have my stethoscope around my neck. They didn't come and make an appointment, but he or she jumps into action and saves a life.
Yeah.
We need to have a little bit more of that mentality, don't we? It's like we need to be ready to go at a moment's notice.
Yeah. We also need to develop determination, because we are in a war. We often talk about spiritual warfare, and spiritual warfare can kind of have this weird thing, and we can maybe think about it as a metaphor, like we use it, spiritual warfare is, as a metaphor. Spiritual warfare is not a metaphor. It is a reality.
Mm.
We are caught in the line of battle. This is a war zone going on. There's a spiritual war zone. We have the powers of darkness that are seeking to enslave people and keep them enslaved, keep them blinded, as 2 Corinthians 4 says, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see. There is war going on. So if there's any metaphor, if warfare is a metaphor, earthly warfare is more like a metaphor for the reality of spiritual warfare than the other way around. And we have to become both more wise and less intimidated and more determined, because as Christians, we have authority to resist and overcome. And so I want to say that we have authority to resist temptation, resist threats, resist the devil's intimidation. But we have more than just the power to resist. We have the power to fight back. We have the power to overcome. And so that's – I wrote an article, Bill, that you were referring to, Don't Underestimate the Enemies of Your Soul, that went up, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is all about, is we need to understand what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 3 about the schemes of the devil. We need to understand what those are and what – we're given these, what we call the armor of God, right? From Ephesians 6, the armor of God. We need to understand what the armor is and what it's for, and that the fact that it's there to use. And if we're not using it, we're demonstrating that we don't really believe that we're in a war.
Mm, I like it. You know, John, there's that expression, and Pam, what would Jesus do with those bracelets? I have a friend of mine who always says, the opposite is what would Satan want?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think it's helpful if you think you're in a situation where you could share or reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
And if you thought to yourself, well, what would Satan want? He would absolutely not want you to say a thing.
Right.
And that's like, forget it. I'm going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost makes you mad. It's like, that's not going to happen. I'm going to go and make that conversation. I'm going to, as awkward as I might feel, as embarrassed as I might get, forget about it. I'm going to do it anyway.
That's right. That's right.
My blood pressure just went up.
You know.
I got to calm down, John. I'm going to take a sip of coffee. You talk.
You know.
I'm serious. I'm all worked up.
You know where the line is, where the battle line is, by where the resistance is. All right? Pay attention to resistance. Internal resistance. Like, I don't want to do that. Oh, I feel afraid about doing that. I feel anxious about doing that. Yes, there's indwelling sin that feeds some of that stuff. Yes, there's pride. There's things like that. But pay attention to resistance, because it's often telling you things that you're not immediately aware of. There are things that Satan does not wants you to do, because if you do it, you are encroaching on his territory and may do damage. No, also, note where things are easy. You know where it's easy? Pride, anger, self-indulgence, all, you know, lust. Why is this so easy to go that way? There's no resistance. In fact, there's encouragement to go that way. Why? Why? Why is there so much encouragement? Why does there seem to be no resistance? And why is it so hard to move this other direction? Because there's a war going on. Yeah. And if you actually go toward the resistance, you will move toward joy, and you will move in the direction of God, because we know that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. And the devil will oppose you. So pay attention to the resistance.
You know, because I love stories like this, I want to keep having stories like this, and I want listeners to share stories like this, because this is how Christians should talk to each other. Guess who I reached out to today?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's great that you've got in your history a story of it happening maybe once, but it shouldn't be just a one and done. It should be something that happens every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, maybe there's some laughter to be had if you really fell on your face, because let's not take ourselves too seriously. Right. Let's be fools for Christ.
Yep. Yep.
I'm getting exactly. Blood pressure's going up again.
I've often wondered, this phrase has gone through my head over the years, like, what if the evangelists are the happiest people? And I think anyone who's really working in their gifts would say what they do, they are like the happiest people. Like maybe radio talk show hosts are the happiest people. Like you're thriving in what you do. Or
I don't, no doubt.
They love what they're doing. And I have never, I would typically think like an evangelist would be someone who's either, I have a stereotype, and then I have sermons that I've heard where we can all feel like, oh, I'm kind of guilty that I haven't been witnessing. But it just gives me a new paradigm that just talking about Jesus in a simple way, about how, what he means to me, what he's doing, what makes me happy about him, like how has he set me free? It's more winsome than I used to think. And not that I necessarily need to put on an evangelist identity, but what if we all are, and if we did a little bit of speaking about him more than we do, we would find like that is way easier and happier than I thought it could be. I'm sure there'll be days where it's awkward and it, you get, you know.
And maybe just we need to be reminded that we need to trust God to do with our words what he wants to. Yes. I mean, John and Pam, don't you think of Jonah? 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown.
Yeah.
That was his whole message.
Yeah.
And everybody got saved.
Yeah. And here's a beautiful thing to notice. Satan wants us to believe that evangelism is hard, it's intimidating, you're not going to have the right answers, blah, 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 blah. Actually, most of the effective evangelism happens with simple things like Pam has shared.
Mm-hmm.
Because God chooses the quote-unquote foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And so it's these little things that God does to undo the devil. And it doesn't need to be a huge deal, but we do need to know the war that we're in and arm ourselves to fight.
Yeah, I want to close the show with great gratitude to John and Pam Bloom for coming into the studio today, but also a comment a listener made. The listener said, it's always impossible until it's done.
Right.
Then it's done, and you go, it wasn't that hard. It wasn't impossible. It wasn't even that hard.
With man, it is impossible. With God,
yes,
all things are
Matthew
possible.
Matthew 19:26. That's been a great having you in studio. Thank you so much for coming in. That wraps up our show. If you want to pass this episode or anything you heard today on to a friend or listen to it again, go to myfaithradio.com. You can check it out on the podcast. That wraps up tonight's show. Thank you so much for listening. It's been great being with you. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.